Welcome to Nintendo Dad's episode 28. On tonight's episode, we dive into the championship details. Square decides to move their E3 announcements. Oh, how nice. Oh, and by the way, Splatoon round 2 of the test fire arrives this weekend. Are you guys as ready as excited as we are? Okay, all this and so much more on tonight's episode. As usual, our master of ceremonies and sound, Zach, could you please, sir, cue the music?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is May 20th, 2015. Joining me tonight for the Nintendo Fun Evening Extrava Bonanza, and that word never gets old, Justin Masson. I always introduce Justin first.
You do. I notice that. Extrava Bonanza. You always say, and I always get hungry for something from Dairy Queen.
You know, I mean,
Extrava Bonanza.
You know, for me, it's like, I don't know, it's like the Grand Slam at Denny's. It just feels like that for some reason. Anyways, speaking of the Grand Slam at Denny's, I don't know what that means.
Speaking of Grand Slams,
is Jesse Waldeck from VGTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
I prefer the peanut butter parfait.
Can we just pause this show right now, by the way? Let's just head straight over and get a peanut butter parfait.
I think mine is still open for 20 minutes.
Although I will say, you know, not that this is divulging into a Dairy Queen podcast, although, production note, maybe we should have a Dairy Queen podcast.
Oh,
wrap your heads around that.
Nintendo Dad's Dairy Queen After Dark.
Absolutely. We should just record from a Dairy Queen eating blizzards.
Yep. There you go.
I went to Dairy Queen a couple days ago and I had the Jurassic Smash Blizzard. Which is apparently, and I don't know, understand how, like, so this is tied into the movie, or at least that's what they're labeling it as. It's a peanut butter cookie and a chocolate chip cookie in a blizzard.
Because nothing says Velociraptor like...
like peanut butter.
Yeah, seriously. Hey, man, makes sense to me.
We should check with our friend Zach Miller for authenticity.
There yeah.
To see if it checks or not.
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand of the fossil record, Velociraptors loved peanut butter.
That's actually what killed them. They were allergic. They didn't know it.
Peanut allergies.
Slowly, one by one, they died from peanut butter.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before this gets any more off the rails, let's head straight into the news.
The news.
Wow, that hits with a little bit more punch than I was remembering. So, first thing in the news, we have the championship details have been revealed. And a whopping 8 Best Buy locations have been announced for May 30th, which is this week from Saturday. Is that right?
Yeah. The day after Splatoon drops.
Yeah, awesome. So, there will be 8 locations, those locations being San Francisco, California, Torrance, California, Miami, Schaumburg, Illinois, Maple Grove. Is that Minnesota?
Yes. Or, Minnesota. Yeah.
Minnesota, you know? I don't know if that
says the two Canadians.
Yeah, like we have a leg to stand on there. Long Island City.
I grew up in Minnesota, in case he didn't know that.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
The more you know. Dallas, Texas, and Tacoma, Washington. Now, have they said anything? So, I mean, obviously, these 8 stores. This doesn't surprise me, but it does maybe leave me a little bit calloused a little bit. I don't know. Like, obviously, this sort of Nintendo World Championship is more of a PR stunt than it is an actual sort of world championship. Otherwise, there would be more locations for this, right? Like,
and probably more tiers of competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides 2.
Yeah, exactly. So it's basically the winner from each location then goes on to the finals. Is that how we were to understand
this? Yeah, that's exactly how it happens.
I think they're also having 8. They're handpicking 8 of the non-winners, so a total of 16.
Really? Right.
Probably the winner and the first runner-up of each, or some sort of picking and choosing.
Yeah. So how are you guys feeling about this? Do you know what? I remember I'm looking up some information here on what I actually am remembering, but what other information do we have on this Nintendo World Championships?
So a couple things that actually came out this week that we did find out. So I'm actually at e3.nintendo.com, where they actually have a little bit more information about the event. So we've always asked, like, what are they playing? So we finally found that out. They said to compete, you compete for the highest score on championship mode in Ultimate NES Remix game for the Nintendo 3DS family of systems. Games and systems will be provided.
I would be so screwed if I even did go. Yeah. If I had a chance to go.
So obviously, you know, and I saw some other information earlier this week, and I should have flagged it. But they mentioned some of the games they'll actually be playing. So I think it's going to be playing like in the Ultimate NES Remix stuff, like Super Mario, and you have to collect the most coins in like 30 seconds or something like that, or get the highest score in Super Mario 3. So they're leaning into that content, and obviously hand selecting very specific games within the Ultimate NES Remix game to play for individuals. So
something that's definitely score based.
This is not worthy of the Nintendo World Championships name, is it? So I've played Ultimate NES Remix, and this is actually where they, compete for the high score in championship mode in Ultimate NES Remix. That is super lame. Am I wrong? Am I being too harsh in saying that?
I think what they had the opportunity to do, but they didn't. I mean, you know, I think, you know, they're leaning into a little bit of the nostalgia of obviously back 25 years ago when the championship was announced. And the era at that time was NES games transitioning over to SNES games. However, you know, I think to pay it a bit of homage to where it is, this should have been more of a, you know, playing something a little bit more, I want to use the word current. You know, there's no reason why they couldn't have made like a couple levels in Mario Kart, a couple levels in Smash, right? Like this feels like, you know, did somebody really need to try and move some Ultimate NES Remix games off the shelf and was like, you know what we could do? We could make a competition based on a section of this game, and then surely for people prepared to come play, they'll have to go pick up the game and get ready. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like a little bit of strategic marketing. It feels a bit weak.
If that was the case, though, then why wouldn't you call it like Ultimate NES Remix Championships or something, right? Like, obviously there is that nostalgia there, but it feels like the Nintendo World Championships name is accompanied by a promise that their plans do not fulfill. You know what I mean? Like looking at this, I'm trying to find the games that were included in the original. There were like lots of different games here, and I don't know, like it could be interesting to see.
Reggie, this year we want to make Nintendo's experience at E3.
What? Oh, thanks, Nintendo. Nintendo had an autoplay video on their freaking website. Thanks, Nintendo. I don't know. Anyways, that's a little bit underwhelming, honestly. I mean, it kind of mirrors their whole only delivering Mario Maker to Best Buy for me, frankly, you know, where it's just like, yeah, I mean, like it, they're promising something, they've done it, but it's kind of, I don't know.
So I find this interesting. So I went to their, if I wanted to register, like they have a PDF registration, regional qualifying tournament registration form. And so there's like a wristband. So people are getting wristbands. They have to like write down numbers and wristbands. But they have four sections in here that this section must be completed by the Nintendo representative. Wristband number. Championship mode final score. Okay, makes sense. Super Mario subscore for tiebreakers only. Super Mario 3 subscore for second tiebreaker. And Dr. Mario subscore for third tiebreaker.
Weird. Like
they're
so
really
what is
drilling
the,
down to the sucker.
Yeah, like what is the... So they're just not being very clear on this, I think, is what kind of is frustrating to me. Like, because championship mode, if I remember correctly, is just kind of a random sort of assortment of... I don't know. Anyway. Yeah.
I also
except enjoy, for this isn't going to be as random. This is just the same three games over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
I also very much enjoying their website, where it says the first 750 eligible attendees in line at each location will be provided with a wristband to compete. 750 people potentially to each of these eight locations. For those of you that are just doing quick math, 6,000 people could potentially try and qualify for this. here's the thing. How many
for 16 slots?
For 16 slots. And then here's the thing. If I am a Best Buy employee at any of these locations, I'm like, I'm off that day.
Oh,
I am not.
Yeah.
He probably wouldn't even be eligible to compete.
Oh, no, no. I'm not trying to compete. I just don't want to work there.
Yeah.
Oh.
750
the same goes
Nintendo
for their
fans,
E3 things,
for
yeah.
E3
that,
conference?
That's true. True.
Yeah.
Now, I know the lines get insane on the the Wednesday and Saturday events at Best Buy during E3 week. Yeah. Like I was there for Smash last year, and the line was bonkers.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. And I don't know. Like when I was there, it wasn't too bad, but I was there a little bit early. Honestly, though, they just opened their store to the unwashed masses. You know what I mean? It just is a little bit rough. But yeah. Anyway,
I think the store learned things after the first year, and the second year was a little bit more controlled.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure I'm going to do the third year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not too keen on it either. But I mean, who knows? We'll have to take a look at that.
Now I'm going to say this actually before we segue out. If any of our fans are at any of these locations and will be competing in any of these competitions, feel free to record video, photos, audio, and send it to us. We would love to hear it and share it with our audience as well. So kind of like a roaming reporter for the Nintendo Dads podcast for any of these locations that you might be competing at. And I know Dave, a good friend of the show, usually listens. Maybe he's near one of these locations that he can maybe go to Long Island,
like
New York.
Like a on-the-ground sort of report. That'd be great. Yeah.
And you know what you'll get from us? Is a thank you.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that is that our audience has told proved to me over the past several months,
you never know what you are going to get.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
I know, it's crazy. Moving on.
Well, before we move on, I have two more comments.
Okay.
One is I'm still convinced Nintendo in their little Japan island nation. If there isn't water 100 miles away from a city, they don't think it exists. I'm in Kansas. And the
what do you
eight
think?
Eight hours away is the closest one to Maple Grove.
Yeah.
And you guys are probably closer to that.
And not only that, but like this has the Nintendo World Championships. It's the classic sort of like this is funny, like from a Canadian perspective, it's like, oh, the World Championships, just like the baseball United States League is the World Series. The Nintendo of America 8-store thing is the World Championships. Like, right. Like really? Anyway.
And the last thing I want to say is if Nintendo doesn't have Fred Savage with a power glove on stage, they're doing it wrong.
Oh, man. Didn't he say something on Twitter like he wanted to be a part of it? Like he wants tickets?
I don't know, but if he does, that's awesome.
I actually did see somewhere on Twitter or something saying that he... I don't follow Fred Savage on Twitter, but I know that he had said... I had heard something.
But if I did,
he would have said that. Anyway, cool. So I agree, though. That would be amazing. Next up in the news here is Square Enix. Now, last year, wow, it's been a long week, we had a... little bit of a sort of smash fest, you know, a sort of angry whatever against Square Enix for being, for having their press conference the same time as Nintendo. They have now moved it to 10 a.m. So good job, Square Enix. You have realized that you were completely myopic and didn't realize that you had scheduled the same time as Nintendo's thing the whole time. So I don't really have anything to say other than good. You know what I mean?
That's all I've got to say.
Although now, I mean, like, it's always going to be this thing where there's multiple different things going on at once. But I almost feel like Nintendo's treehouse immediately following, the news immediately following Nintendo's press conference. The last couple of years, they've announced stuff as like live, live things for particular. Like last year, I think they announced that Star Fox was they announced that on IGN live stream, and like they kind of strategically announced other things. I think Wonderful 101 was announced after the direct on IGN stream. Like they've kind of done that the last couple of years, And so, I don't know. I'm not too excited about Square's conference anyways, but it's still interesting that there's always those different kind of announcements and stuff going on at E3. So, I don't know.
I mean, it's very much moved from this kind of like, here's our hour-long statements and we're done, to here's our hour-long statements and now our 6 days of more content that we're going to show.
Yeah, and not only that too, but I think Nintendo actually, I saw online as well, is that at the same time as Nintendo's, as the digital event, they are also going to be having a sort of in-person, I think they called it a business briefing.
Yes.
Which is basically like a behind closed door sort of round table. I don't know if it's actually in their booth. I know that, you know, like, was it last year, 2 years ago when they announced the Wii Fit Trainer in their booth?
If it's before 11 a.m., it won't be in their booth because the building's still locked down
until the
show opens.
So it'll be like in some weird back room somewhere with people. I don't know. It's weird that they would have them separate, but I guess if it is an industry show, then they do want to have, you know, something. Nintendo, I think, is one of the, you know, they're going to talk to the business people over here and talk their language, and they're going to talk to the consumer through the digital event, you know, that way. And I think it is smart to talk to them in a sort of, you know, more specialized message where they can really cater to the consumer through the digital event, but still talk to the business folks on the back end, you know, behind the scenes at the same time. Whereas Sony and Microsoft, through their onstage thing, it's kind of a little bit of both, and you end up getting like consumers being fed slides about, oh, we've sold this many units and we've done this and that, right? And it's just like
you get an Apple presentation.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's smart that, especially for Nintendo's demographic, you know, where kids don't want to know about freaking, you know, about how many units are being sold. They don't care, right?
I care about that stuff, but yeah, my son doesn't.
Yeah, and that is really who is most interested in the E3 presentation. That's who they aim it at. So yeah, I don't know. Any other thoughts on that, guys? How many more weeks do we have until E3? Because we should start planning our E3.
Yeah. So we had a bit of a pre-production meeting while you were out doing your thing.
Well, I mean, like I said in the text, whoever scheduled my son's T-ball games, man, like, clearly is not a listener.
No. Or they are, but they just don't like you.
Yeah, well, that's fair, too.
Also very valid.
E3 is 4 weeks off.
Yeah, so we're thinking probably either the 3rd or 10th makes sense for our E3 prediction show. Probably the 10th, just in case something should, or probably, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out real soon, but it'll be June.
I think, yeah, for sure.
Early June.
Yeah, right on. Cool. Well, moving on to the next one, we have... Stretchmo, right, is our next thing here. Now, it's interesting. This kind of just came out of nowhere. By the way, it's called, what's it called? Fullmo? Full blocks?
Fullmo, I think. FULL-MO.
Ah, oh, wow. That is terrible.
In Europe.
I think, well, because the other ones are fall blocks and pull blocks or something like that in the other one. So I think it might actually be full blocks. But then full blocks and fall blocks or drop blocks. Oh. Anyway,
let's find out.
Justin, you have in the notes here, just it's an interesting approach to content, and I totally agree. Like, let's talk about that for a second. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I was actually trying to pull up the complete content on that.
Did anybody else buy?
So I haven't. I played the demo. So here's what happened. So to the point, it was very soft launched, is the best way I could call it. There wasn't a lot of fanfare. We didn't know this was coming up. So the approach is that it's free to download, and what you get to do is if you've played Pushmo, Crashmo, any of those kind of games, this is a very similar premise. You have to get to the very top of this structure to save said child, get to the flagpole. You take your choice of what you want. Mm-hmm. But what they did here is it's a free game for the first 7 kind of missions, or what I would almost call tutorials, right? They essentially get you to learn about the game. After that, what they do is they offer you packages to buy of content related to the game. So, for example, and I'm trying to find the actual content, the prices on that. But as I recall off the top of my head, First one is like $5.99, and that gets you 100 levels of Stretch Mo. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's fair enough. The next level after that is what they call, I think, like, it's something about, like, animals or items, and essentially that's 50 items or 50 levels at $2.99. Then they have another one, which they're calling, which is essentially challenge levels. And in this case, there are like enemies that are introduced, and there are like trap doors. And that's another 50 levels at $2.99. And then they offer another package, which is $2.99, which is like NES levels. And it's a tribute to NES games and sculptures that you kind of get to go through and try and complete that way as well. So in total,
so like character sprites like Samus and Mario.
Yeah, exactly. So I think in total the grand total package is, if you want all four of them, is essentially I think $15 or $16. But
there's a bundle deal though, right?
There is a bundle deal for comes to a total of $9.99 US, $10.99
in Canada. Yeah, which is a pretty similar sort of model that they have done in other, you know, like the Street Pass games. It's a pretty similar model, I think.
I finally found the page. So the package I was talking about was Papa's Blocks NES Expo, Sculptor's Square or Poppy's Sculptor Square, Corrin's Fortress of Fun, and Playtime Mallow's Playtime Plaza. And for a bundle of that, that is $9.99. And individually, Playtime Plaza is $4.99, Sculptor Square is $2.99, Fortress of Fun is $2.99, and NES Expo is $2.99. So, but you can get all four for a total of $9.99 USD.
Very cool. Right on. I don't know. I played through the first seven stages. And I liked it, but I think it's proving to be pretty successful for them, I think. So good on them for
Blue Return.
Kind of indifferent on whether or not I actually get back in, because it's a week after that, or literally less than a week. He has this funny sort of way that
he's singing the jingle.
He's not the Squid Kid.
Can I have a Splatoon for my birthday? Because that would be nice. And I'm like, who are you?
Anyway, so the last thing here, Nintendo pulled a fast one on us. Is that going to work? Nope. We have an announcement. That's not... Nah, never mind. See, this is what happens when I try and... Huh? No, that was... It was the Bowser Castle theme from the N64. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Well, I was going to try and be cool.
I'm playing that tune in one note. What do you expect?
I know, right? It was not very good. But anyways.
How's that for a dated reference for you?
Seriously, all I wanted to do was do that, and it just wasn't even going to work. So Nintendo announced today that Bowser is VP of sales in Nintendo. So what exactly does this mean? Because I'm not entirely... I don't know who this Bowser guy is. Clearly, Bowser is not... It's not the Bowser. It's... What's his name? David Bowser? Or like...
Greg, I think it's Greg Bowser.
Greg Bowser, Jimmy.
I looked it up during dinner because I was showing my wife.
Jimmy John but... Bowser, McGillicuddy.
Oh boy, this is embarrassing, guys. Yeah, Doug Bowser. He will now oversee a variety of sales-related Nintendo functions, including
maybe we should
sales,
be a little bit
in-store
more...
merchandising, retail strategy, and retail marketing.
So I picked a four-letter first name.
There you go. So who is this guy? Who's done our due diligence on this? I'm not entirely sure who this guy is.
Okay, so he came from Electronic Arts, where he worked there for since 2007. He was most recently, he was vice president of global business planning, a role that made him responsible for EA's console, PC, and mobile game forecasting. And then prior to EA, he worked for Procter & Gamble in a variety of sales leadership roles in both Asia, Latin America, and the U.S. So... he has a bachelor's degree in communications.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
So I thought, you know, obviously very smart, you know, headlining link bait of Nintendo America hires Bowser as new VP of sales. Like, I almost wonder, like, when they walked in and he got sent, you know, the resume goes across Reggie's desk and they're like, Bowser?
And
we're done here. We're done. I don't need to see anyone else. You're hired.
You are hired. Yeah, seriously. Like, there's a little bit of a groaner there, but I don't know. Cool.
It still doesn't compare to Reggie and his past jobs where he worked for some pizza place that had the Noid. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Domino's.
Domino's. That was one of Reggie's things.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a groaner. I wasn't too sure with this, but I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, but you know, the way Nintendo titled that PR was just awesome.
It was pretty funny.
The title was Nintendo of America hires Bowser as VP of Sales, and you were like, "What?"
Yeah, it was good.
Well, I think this is a great example of it. I mean, in a couple of days ago, they did Toad took over Twitter, their Twitter account, using the hashtag Toad Advice. Right, so they've done these kind of things with their characters where they're kind of having this fun kind of interaction through social media and through these channels to get their fans. So when this came through kind of on the media press call today, it wasn't like – I was literally expecting to see a picture of like Bowser in a bow tie kind of standing in marketing or something, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thought it was really clever. Well done.
Yep, touche. Right on. So cool. Is there anything else on the news here? I'm kind of running different. I'm going to figure something out. My apologies to everybody for my awesome computer issues. Anyway. So anything else before we head into our what we've been playing?
No.
All right. Let's head into it then. Right. Right on. So we kind of talked about Stretch Mo already. Do we have anything else? I played it. It's an interesting addition to the sort of formula, right? Now I played a lot of Push Mo and Crash Mo and Push Mo World, and this is the first one where I was like, oh, this again, huh? like it's a little bit different, you know, like granted it's different, but okay, you know, like I don't feel that much more excited about it. It's like it's more like Push Mo than it is Crash Mo. Crash Mo was quite a bit different in that you pull things and the gravity of, you know, the gravity would change it. Whereas Stretch Mo feels more like, you know, it's obviously where you're pulling it. I think it can go two spaces, right, in any direction, and so. Like it ends up being, but you can do it in all four, or in, you know, back and forward and left and right, within that three dimensional space. Whereas pull blocks, which is the European name, push mo is just backwards and forwards, and there's no left and right, and there's no, you know, there's no sitting the starting point in the center of the space either, right? It's all, you're either pulling it out or, you know, but you're not stretching it in three dimensions, or I guess it's still two dimensions instead of one dimension. But I guess, you know, that kind of makes sense. So I don't know. I liked it, but like I said before, I was just like, oh, I guess this was kind of fun. I really enjoyed playing Push Mo. I'm going to go play Push Mo. And then maybe once I beat Push Mo and Crash Mo, then I'll come back to Stretch Mo. So I don't know. Justin or Jesse, you know, any other thoughts that you guys have on that?
I was kind of the same with you. Like after I played, I was like, oh yeah, this is fun, but I still haven't finished Crash Mo or Push Mo, so I'm not necessarily going to spend my, you know, couple bucks to.
Yeah. Which is a little bit like, I don't know, of all the things that they could be making, I feel like really made another one. Like that's like the fourth one now, like in the single generation. Why don't we make something a little bit. I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I haven't finished what you've given me already. Especially since Push Mo and Crash Mo, there are so many levels in those that I was just like, and some of them get quite difficult. So maybe I'll just, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not super crazy about it, but.
Yeah. I never got into the series. I bought the first one. I think I got into like the sixth or seventh level of the tutorial. Didn't even finish the tutorial levels, and I already got stuck.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to put effort into this. Mm-hmm. And the Europe version, the Europe name of Stretchmo is Full Blocks, F-U-L-L Blocks.
Which the other one is Pull Blocks, right? So it's like, that's, it's, I don't know. Interesting.
An F instead of a P, yep.
Yep. Yeah, so anyway, that's really about the only impressions I have of that game is more of the same. Justin, you started playing Swords and Soldiers 2.
Yeah, so I have got a demo copy provided by the developer, so it's awesome, a review copy. So I have been playing it so far. Did either of you guys play the Sword and Soldiers, the original?
I don't know if I have. I'm pulling it up right now just to take a look.
You can currently find it on the eShop for $2.99.
Okay.
It's a tower defense game.
Was that like a, was that like a 2D tower defense?
Yeah, it's 2D tower defense game.
I think I might have picked it up on a Steam sale four or five years ago.
Yeah, it was originally, the original Sword and Soldiers was released in 2009. It was an award-winning game. It was released in 2014 on the Wii U that you can purchase again for $2.99. This is their sequel, Sword and Soldiers 2, that's coming out. I've had my hands on it for now a little bit. I can't really tell you much of too much of what I think of it. But for those of you that kind of like tower defense games, if you've played the original, this will probably be right up your alley. Next week, I'll be able to provide a little bit more detail, and we are going to be posting a review, or I'll be posting a review on VG Tribune's website about it as well. So check it out there.
I like the art style of this game. That's pretty cool.
I guess I can talk a little bit probably about some of that stuff. The art style I thought was really nice. Like, that was actually one of the things that first and foremost popped out to me. It feels very comic strip art style. Mm-hmm. The colors are very vibrant and pop. And with that 2D kind of mix that they have on the images, it has a very, very cool graphical look to it, which I'm very impressed with.
It's like, it looks kind of like hand drawn, but also mm-hmm. kind of, like a little bit of texture to it in the sort of almost like a cel shaded.
Yep.
Like, I know we tend to overuse that sort of term, but it kind of feels like that.
Yeah.
That sort of, at least the drawing, the drawings of it and stuff, it looks really cool.
Yeah, so the it's character. it's quite, like I said, those are some great features on it as well. So I know that it was Nintendo was really pushing this game at their Indiecade in 2014. You can check out a video on Nintendo's YouTube channel about it as well. With an interview with I think one of the publishers, Jasper, and then they also, like, it's been on the eShop. Kind of when you go in the eShop, it's on the landing page there. That's coming soon. So they've done a lot of a pretty good job promoting that this game is coming as well. So this is be aware of it. But I'll have more of a in depth review for it next week. But that's kind of what I've been playing.
Very cool. Finally, this has been out for a couple of weeks now, but the full game is coming out on Friday. And that is Puzzle and Dragons for 3DS. There was a demo that came out a few weeks ago, and we just haven't had a chance really to talk about it. Jesse, I know you've been playing it. Justin, have you played the demo at all?
I have.
Right on. I've played it as well. So, let's just kind of, Jesse, why don't you start us off? How are you feeling about this game so far?
Well, I played it once. I really,
because this seems overall, like more like your. Sorry, go ahead.
Overall, I think it's a poor demo.
I think that's very good.
They give you two levels: a beginning level and an expert level. The beginning level is boringly easy, and the expert level is
wicked hard.
That's putting it nicely. Yeah.
It's really hard.
There's no indication of how much you have to deal with the easy versus how much you have to deal with the hard in the end game. And there's no intermediate levels. If they gave us a level of an intermediate stage, that might have been more of a well-rounded demo. Mm-hmm. But
it feels like they drop you right into a really difficult sort of, in the expert one, where you're like, oh crap, like I actually, it became very clear very early that I needed to have a certain kind of team and I had chosen the wrong team, right?
Always replay it and try with the other one, but if you're not good at getting combos, you're hosed.
Yeah. And so I feel like, yeah, like T team composition in this is going to be pretty key, I feel. So yeah, for those of you who haven't played this or are aware of what Puzzle and Dragons is, it's kind of a mixture between, I don't want to say it's kind of like Puzzle Quest, like the battle system, but it almost feels like it's more, like it's a little bit more real time as well. Is that a fair sort of explanation of that, would you say?
Yeah, and with you know, the gameplay similar to something like a Candy Crush, but instead of or
like Bejeweled instead of Candy, or something.
But instead of Candy Crush and Bejeweled, where you're only limited to move to adjacent pieces, you can grab a piece and move it all over the board, shifting every piece around it as it moves.
It seems like that is the key, right? That's the trick to being really good at it, is having the right path.
And you've got to be able to line up those combos. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere on the expert level.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. How are you feeling about it, Justin? How did you do in the game?
Yeah, so I mean, I agree with both of you guys. You know, they have the intro level and then the expert level. And I got just destroyed in expert.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was a bit ridiculous. You know, and I said it on the pre-show, our Periscope pre-show on this. This feels like a game that would have been a prime game to be the inaugural Nintendo mobile game in the App Store. Mm-hmm. Because this game already exists, Puzzle and Dragons, on the App Store, just not the Nintendo skin of it, that you could download for like, you know, $3. That feels like what this should have been. This is, I don't know, in my opinion, like when you compare it to something like a Pokemon Shuffle, where you have this, again, this premised idea of match three games, which was a free game. Right, I've been playing Pokemon Shuffle since it came out, almost daily, which is sad. I hate match three.
You're still playing that game, hey?
I am on level 145, and I have captured almost all of my Pokemon.
Wow.
Yeah, I am. I apparently do believe you have to catch them all. Yeah. I don't know.
I only got into the 30s in that before I kind of went.
I fizzled out on that one. I'm impressed, dude. That's great.
Yeah, I'm just. You want some of this? You want some of my Charizard? I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means, but I want it.
That makes all of us.
Yeah, feels awkward.
But
I think when you compare it to something like a Pokemon Shuffle, this game feels like it should be free. It feels like if it shouldn't be free, it should be like $5, not 30. And I think it's 35 in Canada, 30 again in the US. You know, someone in our Periscope made the comment today of like, you know, I don't want Puzzle and Dragons. I want the Mario Puzzle and Dragons.
Yeah,
so
right?
How about like you just give me that for $10?
Yeah, that is the part of this entire thing that is so confusing to me, is why have they bundled these together and not allowed us to buy them separately? If it's $30 and you want to sell a $30 bundle, fine. But, like, break them into 15-15, or if you want to pull a Bayonetta 2 sort of deal and have a $20, $10, that's fine, right?
Like, that's what I was going to say. They should have done it like Bayonetta. Have them both marked in eShop as $20 each, and then you buy the first one, the second one goes down to 10.
And maybe honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a technical limitation on the 3DS eShop that doesn't allow them to do that. Because the 3DS eShop seems like it's a little bit less... it's a little bit less versatile on what they're able to do for pricing, so maybe they can't do that. I don't know.
That's possible.
So I don't know. I just don't want to buy two full-length games that are the same gameplay and the same game, right? Just sell me one. I'm okay with only having one. So I don't know. Having said that, it is fun, and I would be interested in getting one of them. I just don't want to buy both, especially with Splatoon coming up and with all those amiibos releasing the week after. This is not a priority for me right now, but I'm also, I don't know, maybe I'll pick it up when things get a little bit slow again, but I don't know. With E3 coming up, I have a feeling that there's going to be a bunch of games I'm going to be excited for again and want
to buy. Yeah, I don't know. But again, if this was a game that was on mobile, I wouldn't have an issue with it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because like, oh, I just got to, you know, I'm waiting in line at the bank. I'll just pull up my phone real fast and I'll play a quick game of Puzzle and Dragons, you know, waste 30 seconds, bang, I'm done.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas opposed to currently, and I mean, yeah, the same can be argued of like, yeah, I could pull up my DS and open it up and load the screen and jump in, right? that's a little bit longer process. But I just, when you compare it to Pokemon Shuffle, this feels like it was a miss. And we talked about this when this game originally was announced, that this feels like a game that should have been on an iOS or on a mobile device. So
especially since I'm thinking of like the last 2 years that, you know, Nintendo seems to have this sort of beginning of summer game release, right? So I think last year it was Tamagotchi Life and Mario Kart, right? So one for each system. Mario Kart did great. Tamagotchi Life was actually really successful. Was it the year before that or 2 years before that that was Animal Crossing? And
2 years ago, this, yeah, 1 year before Tamagotchi.
Right. So Animal Crossing, yeah. So Animal Crossing was released at the same time period. And for this game to be to the same audience, I mean, maybe they're trying to get that same audience because it's a puzzle game. And so it's a little bit, you know, casual. I don't know. It's weird that, that this game is filling that slot. It's not going to be, you know, hitting that same demographic, I don't think. If they are trying that same strategy again. Maybe they're mixing it up and we'll see how it works, but I'm not too super stoked about it. I know that.
And if you are someone who does love this and you want to prove, like I don't say prove us wrong, please give us a call.
Absolutely.
We'd love to hear why this is like the best thing in the world because not we're me, just a little wrong. Confused.
Yeah, and I'm... Again, this isn't even necessarily a game I'm not interested in. It's just not a priority considering all of the other things that are coming out in the near future as well. Specifically, a lot of amiibo that are that are not a priority or that are gonna. I'm gonna be using that money for instead. So I don't know. We shall see. But anyway, anything else, guys? Before we move on to listener or to.
The postman.
I see my music file still says listener mail. That's what the problem is. Sheesh. I'm like freaking Ron Burgundy over here. All right, you guys hear that? It's the postman. All right, the postman has arrived, and with him is our listener mail for today. Justin, why don't you go ahead and read our first email?
Sure. So this email came in from Chris. Hey, guys. Ever since I was young, I've done my gaming via a Nintendo handheld. So, Zach, this is actually probably right up your alley. You're a big handheld person.
Yeah.
I bought a Wii a couple years back and never use it. I guess I've just grown accustomed to playing on my own personal device. I've just been in a predicament where I hate television gaming and hate smartphone gaming even more. And that's fair enough, right? I really feel that if Nintendo is exiting the handheld market, that it's just leaving the handheld market that I would just be out. But I love gaming. I need help. Should I even be concerned? Yes, I'm probably as confused as you are right now. That's fair enough. So Chris is essentially saying, like, hey guys, I love handheld gaming. There's a lot of rumors and thoughts that potentially Nintendo leaves the handheld market. If it's out, like, what do you do?
Here's my thoughts on it. Is first of all, I feel like Nintendo is not going to be leaving the handheld market anytime soon. I don't think that their approach to smart devices, quote unquote, right, like smartphones and tablets, I don't think that they are going to take an approach that will cannibalize their handheld market. Now, does that mean that their handheld market and their console market are going to merge? I still am a firm believer that that is the approach they're going to take. Whether that's on a hardware end or a software end, I don't know. But I think that especially, and there's a great discussion on one of the most recent episodes of Nintendo Voice Chat for IGN, where they talked all about, you know, what is the world marketplace look like for Nintendo? And in Japan, like a lot of video gaming is going in exactly the same direction as Chris is going, where not a lot of people want to play on the TV anymore. A lot of people are, you know, a lot of families there is competition for the TV, which was a driving factor on why the Wii U actually had that off TV play. It may not be that big of a deal in North America because there's more than one TV, or, you know, there's lots of different things there. But in Japan, there is only, you know, typically there's one TV per household. And so to compete with like your dad who wants to watch TV, you won't be able to play games, right? So
I think in many Japanese homes, you've got like three generations of,
exactly,
family,
right?
So, sharing that one TV.
Yeah. So handheld gaming in Japan is way more popular than home console gaming is.
And not just because of the fighting over the TV thing, but because there's, you know, the public transportation system.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's lots of different factors that you know, go into that for sure. And so I think that it's, I don't know. I feel like they're not going to leave that handheld gaming, you know, demographic, that whole population just out in the dust. It is their most profitable business right now.
Yeah. And it has been for quite a while, actually.
Even since I don't know exactly, but was the DS sold a ton of units, like even compared to the Wii, right? Like what?
Yeah. I don't think GBA was ever considered a failure, but DS smashed those numbers.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah,
and actually, as I recall, I believe it was actually even the Game Boy that began this. Nintendo traditionally in any of their generations sells more handheld games than they do home console systems. So the actual, in all truth and honesty, the handheld division is actually what's primarily helping keep a bunch of the other divisions afloat because of the finances that they actually bring in. Typically, from what I recall from this is like a 3-to-1 ratio. And here's a great example. Hey, Jesse, how many 3DSs do you have in your house?
5.
How many Wii U's do you have?
1.
Yeah, there we go, folks. That's why they're not leaving the handheld market.
Yeah,
I've got two. I have two of these.
Yeah. And not only that too, but I mean, the manufacturing cost on a handheld unit is much lower. The cost per unit for the consumer is lower, and the games are cheaper to make. The games are cheaper to sell. Like, it's easier to get into it, and it's cheaper for Nintendo to do it as well. So all around, it has a wider appeal for Nintendo, which is exactly what they want to keep holding on to. Right, that is what gets Nintendo into as many homes as possible, is through those handheld units, through the DS, the 3DS. You know, I mean, that's something that is going to continue going on. I feel they're not, if the next Nintendo system, if the NX truly is the sort of fusion system, I feel like it's not going to be just a simple, oh well, look, now the gamepad is a little bit smaller and you can play all your games on the go. It's not going to be that simple. I feel like there's going to be multiple SKUs so that you still have a really good entry-level device like the 2DS right now, or like the old sort of, you know, the original DS post-price cut, I think. But, you know, I think if they're going to be successful, they need to have that entry-level be successful. So.
And then for Zach and for the people not watching the live stream, I have two of these as well, I was talking about GBA SPs.
Oh yeah, dude. So I love my GBA SP.
I'm holding both of them up to the camera right now.
Absolutely. GBA SP is like, that is the best handheld. I'm going to go back on that. The DS Lite was the best handheld they've ever created. The Game Boy Advance SP.
They sold buckets of those things.
Yeah, they did.
I literally remember for Christmas, speaking of the Nintendo, kind of just how Nintendo permeates our culture and our society. A couple of, about probably 5 Christmases ago, I went out for Christmas, and my folks both had DSs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing like games across like simple billiard games where it's, you know, the download games across, right? Where I have the game and you can download it and try it.
Oh,
they're
playing
these like billiard games. And I was like, okay, this is so weird. and then all of a sudden, like my stepbrother walks upstairs and he's got his DS. And all of a sudden, like, he's like, oh, I'm playing a game too. And I'm like, what is going on in this house?
It's like, what were they like, next thing you know, they're like,
Picto
chat or something.
What did you do to my family?
And then literally later that night, we're talking about, my stepdad decides to be very generous, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to buy your stepbrother an Xbox. Do you guys want one? And I was like, well, actually, can we have a DS? Okay, sure. And so, like, later that night, we're out at Walmart buying DSs. And so later, we're sitting around, all of us are playing DSs. Before my wife went into labor with our second child, she had to be induced, we brought our DSs to the hospital. And we played Mario Party on our DSs while she was kind of getting induced.
Wow.
And we just sat here with the kind of like, we're like, well, we've got time. You've got your DS, I've got my DS. Let's play a game and kind of just burn this time. And in all fairness, though,
to get high on.
And in all fairness, I think I might have won that game, but we had to call it early because our child got born.
Excuses, man. You know what? A win's a win.
I know, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, come on. If you're not gonna like bring your A game, then just don't play.
Yeah. If you're distracted, that's your fault, not mine.
Yeah. Seriously.
But I mean, I think it's just their handheld consoles. And the nice part is, I mean, we've talked about kind of the whether you like the Wii or the Wii U and how you feel like one's winning against the other or not, or whether it's a flop or not. Consecutively, since the DS, Nintendo's pretty much hit their mark on their handhelds.
Yeah.
Right?
There was a little bit of fumble out of the gate on the 3DS.
A little bit, yeah, but they re-recovered. Hear us bitch that we don't get the DS with the face plates and this kind of stuff, you know, like first world problems here, folks, really. But the thing is, I mean, fundamentally, when you pick up one of those devices, you pick up a Nintendo handheld, a device, you know, it's solid, you know, it's quality built, you know, they've taken their time and effort to think about the product. And I think it's those kind of things that will continue to make Nintendo a desirable handheld video game console. And, you know, we kind of mentioned recently, my friend of the show, Chris Ross, and his son, right? He's playing his own little 2DS and his son's playing 2DS and he picked up a 3DS because he wants to play with him, right? Like, it's just such a family scent or family fun entry device that I think Nintendo would be. I think Nintendo said we're killing our handheld market, our handheld systems. I think that would probably be near the death of Nintendo.
I think so. Yeah.
I will now get off my soapbox.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I've got this bin over here next to my desk that's got like an old school Game Boy, a Game Boy Color, an SP, a DS Lite. Like, I have so much like handheld hardware in there. I totally agree. That I don't think that you have anything to worry about. If anything, I think the future is bright for handheld on Nintendo because we're probably going to be seeing a unification of hardware and software, which means that we are going to be getting more games on handheld than we are used to, is kind of how I feel about it. Having those software teams consolidated into one group, I think is going to be really good for us. Although at the same time, as I've said that, I feel like hopefully that doesn't mean that we just have this sort of homogenization of game experiences as well. You know what I mean? Where the handheld experience on, you know, like the 3DS and stuff like that with the stylus controls, and there's something about the form factor of the 3DS or more the just the DS before it. You know, you got some really cool experiences, and hopefully if they do have that sort of unification that you don't lose any of the cool unique opportunities of that form factor.
Just a kind of a general statement for you guys. Comparatively, how many hours a week do you think you play your DS versus your Wii U?
I probably play my Wii U, I would say, on average, once or twice a week. And I probably play my 3DS 3 times a week on average.
Okay, so you're playing your DS more.
I'm definitely playing my 3DS more, absolutely.
Okay. Jesse?
I think for the last 2 weeks, I really barely touched either, but in general, if I'm in the middle of a DS game, it'll be played a lot more than if I'm in the middle of a Wii U game. Okay. And part of it is because it's handheld. You know, like, you know, I work from home, so even if sometimes if I'm just waiting for hear back, if I'm expecting an email, it could be 10 minutes. instead of starting something that I have to interrupt myself just to get back to what I need to be doing, you know, I'll take a, you know, 5-minute break, do something small on the DS, and then get back, you know, back to work again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. How about you, Justin? How are you? How do you deal? How do you play?
Yeah, I find that, and I don't know if it's still the sweet, sweet glow of a new DS that's attracting me, but I find that I play my DS more than I do my Wii U. And it's not because there isn't the content on my Wii U to play. I have a bunch of great games in my queue to play, and it's fun experiences. But it's for me, it's those actual, like, the time, those, especially I think as a parent, it's those times that you find to play.
Yes.
If that makes sense. So for me, like, in the morning, I typically, you know, I get up, I get dressed, and I'll pack my DS in my messenger bag because I go to work, right? And I'll carry it with me throughout the day, and maybe I'm at work, I'm like, oh, you know what, it's my coffee break. I'm just going to, you know, pull out my DS and play some Zeo Drifter or play some Pokemon, okay? Put it away and go do something else. Okay, well, I'm taking my daughter to dance class. She's at dance class for 45 minutes. You can't watch. You just kind of got to sit in the lobby. Okay, well, I'll pull out my DS and play some Zelda, right? Or okay, well, you know, my wife's outside doing some gardening. I've got 5 minutes, right? So it's more this idea of finding those minutes between times or that time there to play, as opposed to with my Wii U, I find I have to create very dedicated time to do that.
Yes.
Right. So we have our Wii U in kind of the main entertainment area of the house, right? Our living room, where everyone watches the TV or whatever. So for me, it's very much kind of like, okay, you know, my wife's done watching Survivor or something, and okay, do you want to spend time together? Like, or are you going to bed, or are the girls in bed? Is this a game we can all play together? And so I have to, it sounds funny, I almost feel like I have to schedule my time with the Wii U to play and engage in that content, where the DS fits into my lifestyle of what I need. And you know, I think if someone had, and I talked about this after I'd had my experience with my DS, I think if someone said to me, you know, you have to choose one of these systems, you only get one, mm-hmm. right? You're going to take a Wii U or a DS. I'd take the DS.
Yeah.
Just because it just fits into my lifestyle better. And again, I love my Wii U. Like, I think it's a fantastic console. Some great games on it. Great time with, I love playing with my kids. There's so many good things about it. But just fundamentally what fits into my lifestyle and how busy I am, I find that my 3DS is it. The only quarrel I have with my 3DS in its oddity is that I just wish it had a battery life longer than 4 days. And I know that sounds really dumb, but I'm like, it's on for 4 days straight.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm like walking around, I'm street passing, I'm like, oh man, I've got to recharge. It's been 4 days since I had to plug it in last, and yet I plug my iPhone in every 6 hours, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
So
yeah, I have my charging station for my 3DS right there by my bed, so I just slap it up there when I'm ready when I'm done. And you know, I have the exact same thoughts. If I want to play a Wii U game, I almost have to schedule time. And it's even worse if I want to play a Wii game, because that's not even that my Wii isn't even in my office. That's upstairs on the family TV.
Yeah.
So if I wanted, I've been trying to get some time into Twilight Princess again. You know, I was able to squeeze in the first 2 hours of the game this last weekend. And I want to get more in. It's just I've got to not only make time to play games, but to actually make sure no one else is up there using it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for us, like especially with our Wii, like our Wii is kind of like, I don't want to say like is the family device, right? But like it brings family together to play, right? So do you guys want to play Mario Party? Do you want to play Mario Kart? Do you want to play Smash? Do you want to play Captain Toad? Do you want to play Splatoon? Like, these are games I want to play with the kids together, the family collectively, right? We have another TV downstairs that has, like, the old Wii is attached to it, PS3 is attached to it, and an old NES is attached to it, right? Like, and it could very easily be, like, the video game room, but then I feel like if it's down here, it's isolated, and it's forgotten, and we just don't play it as much, right? And I want that kind of communal experience. So, yeah. Interestingly enough, we actually just got a tweet from Dave, and he actually says he prefers his Wii U.
Really?
Yeah. He's probably a dirty liar, but that's just
yeah.
Me.
Well, he's wrong.
Yeah. My downstairs is very similar to your downstairs. You know, except for I, you know, we use up my Wii's upstairs. Everything else is down here. I have the Wii U, PS3, PS4, a Retron 5, PlayStation TV and an Ouya all down here, you know, which is my office area. So it's one, if when I have time to play games, I have a lot to choose from. In fact, I have another TV over here in my corner. There's an old tube TV behind me that I have a PS2, and if I can ever find an old N64 to pick up again, I want to put it on here because they just look better. The legacy systems just look better on CRTs versus LCDs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Well, right on. Yeah, that, I think as far as one thing I did want to say as well, lately for some reason, you know, Chris also mentions the fact that he really doesn't like mobile gaming. I feel like, I don't know why, but lately I've been getting more into mobile gaming, and I would say, you know, especially with Nintendo getting into the space, Nintendo is going to do some pretty cool stuff, I have a feeling. And I would not worry as much as it sounds like you're worrying about Nintendo, you know, getting into the mobile space. You know, I'm pretty optimistic with what they're going to bring to the table. So they're going to be smart with it. They're going to be very strategic and, you know, they're not going to have a ton of games. So, like, what did they say that by
2017 March?
Yeah, they're going to have five games. So that's not nuts, right? That's not that many games. It's going to be pretty decent. And just enough to give us some fun stuff. So yeah. Anyway, anything else? What do we got next here? We have a tweet as well.
Yeah, I did some. Hey, what do you guys want us to talk about? And sorry, I'm where to go?
Oh yeah, here we go. It's at the Monster Atlas on Twitter.
Yeah,
he says, hey guys, expectations for the next test fire. Do you believe anything will be tweaked or changed? New map rotations.
I think it'll be exactly the same as the first time.
I think that's probably the best bet, especially since it's going to be for 1 hour.
If they did any tweakings, they did it on the server end just for stability, and we won't even know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that it's going to be pretty similar. I don't think they're going to add anything that they... Frankly, if they are doing... all of these delayed content updates, and they're spending any more time on this demo, I think that they're crazy and they should just freaking hurry up and get that other content finished as soon as possible and stop making demos if that's actually what they end up doing. So that may be totally calloused and whatever, but that is how I feel about it. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's going to be the same. Yeah. They're not like, now first and foremost, let me say, Monster Atlas, I wish they'd add another map or maybe a couple different weapons. But I think that they're just going to, you know, rinse, repeat, kind of wash kind of thing.
Yeah. Again, this is a week away from the actual launch. I don't think they're going to do anything new with it.
No. Agreed. Cool. Well, hey guys, kind of a short show this week, hey? Kind of nice.
Especially with how long last week's was.
Yeah. So, thanks everybody for listening. Here, let me get our music going.
A couple things I want to just kind of shout out beforehand. Big thanks to the guys from Reactor Radio who actually mentioned us recently on a podcast of their own. They mentioned they listened to our show, and that was kind of pretty awesome. So thank you very much to those guys. I'm trying to go through our Twitter stream right now. There was also someone who reached out to us on Twitter recently and asked us if we need a Diddy Kong amiibo. And I can't find your name right now. I just want to say thank you very much for reaching out and asking us. And our fans are, like, seriously the best fans in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, actually, here it is. Paul Gannison, do you guys still need a Diddy Kong amiibo? Because I can snag you one. Wow, Paul, thank you so much. Like, that is amazing that our fans kind of reach out for us and check these things. So, thank you. And thank you guys to everyone who's really, like, so involved in our communities. That's awesome. And we've got some fun giveaways kind of in the pipeline right now. So keep tuned and watching our social media channels and our show.
Absolutely. And not hopefully everybody's still there's still, I guess, you know, almost a week and a half left of the giveaway on VGTribune.com as well for the GameCube adapter. So head over to our, I guess it's the VG Tribune Facebook page, and join in there. And I know we've got a lot of people following us on Twitter because of that giveaway. So welcome to everybody. And, you know, if you're new listeners or whatever, you know, they're giving one of those things away, and it's a Nintendo brand one. It's not a cheap knockoff. So get in on that business. It's exciting. So we love you guys. You guys are the best. As well, let me just get round out the show here. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Nintendo Dads. You can follow, you can email us nintendodads@gmail.com, twitch.tv/nintendodads for our live show every Wednesday night at approximately 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. As well, call in and leave us a voicemail at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Big thanks to ocremix.org for the music throughout the show, as well as Carter Johnson for providing our amazing artwork. You can find her blog over at megacarter.tumblr.com. And of course, if you want to do us a huge favor, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. That helps us get into the ears of as many people as possible. And I think we're going to read a few of those in the next couple of weeks. So do us a favor and read those, and we will read them on the show. You can also find us on Stitcher and, of course, VGTribune.com. Any final words before we head out tonight, guys?
No. Thanks, guys. Thanks for always tuning in. We love you.
We love you, everyone. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Oh, the good times of podcasting.
Good times.
Sweet, sweet smell of a final episode of podcasting when you're done.
What?
I don't know.
I felt like you were going somewhere with that, and then it just like almost became incoherent.
I did. I know. It's been a long day. It's been a rough day. I went for a kilometer and a half run with my daughter today for her school run.
Oh, by the way, that was about the funniest video. That was like the best. I was like, I saw that, and then I like, hey, Hillary, come here. Like, I had to show her the video.
So the story behind that goes, so my daughter's in this running club thing, and I'm really excited for her. She's doing great. They run every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They have to run something like 27 kilometers by the end of this whole like school, right? The school season. But she's like, hey, Dad, well, you can run with me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll come run with you. But so you know, I'm like, I'll go in May. And so she started like running club in March. So I'm like, I have like 2 months to train to get myself ready. So
I have the tiger.
I have the tiger. Like, I'm getting myself ready. And of course I didn't, right? Like, this body was built on beer and burgers. This is not going to happen. So I look at her schedule, and she runs Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I see on Wednesday that they're only running half a kilometer. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can really easily do half a kilometer, no issue.
Was it like sprints or what?
No. So then I kind of like – I got my days mixed up, and I ended up looking at the wrong Wednesday. And so today I'm like, oh, yeah, it's half a kilometer. I'll take a look at it. No. It's a kilometer and a half today.
That is a terrible mistake.
I know. It took me 14 minutes to run a kilometer and a half, and I had my Fitbit on me. And at one point, my heart rate got to 190 beats per minute.
Oh.
Now, I think my Fitbit might be a little bit off on my heartbeat, just potentially a little bit. But either which way, I was like I just about felt like I was going to die and puke. Yes. A little bit of the...
You want to do just a quick sound check?
Sure. I like purple Hello Kitty watches. They are both classy and cool all at the same time. I also enjoy how my Hello Kitty has a yellow hair tie.
Hmm.
You're welcome.
Awesome. That'll be great for the boop for the bonus.
Son of a...
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.